Accessibility Craft Podcast, where we explore the art of creating accessible websites while trying out interesting craft beverages. This podcast is brought to you by the team at Equalize Digital, a WordPress accessibility company and the proud creators of the Accessibility Checker plugin. And now, on to the show.
I am very excited to introduce everyone to our speaker today. His name is Nicholas Corbett, and I've just spotlighted his video, so hopefully everyone can see him as well. Nick has been with the Carroll Center for the Blind since 2017, and he originally joined on the rehabilitation team as a technology skills instructor and project specialist. And in 2021, he transitioned into the role of accessibility training and research coordinator. Nicholas is an advanced user and instructor of accessibility software across Microsoft, Google, and Apple products, and he enables others to communicate with language that can be understood by users and developers of digital resources, thereby promoting employment and opportunities in the digital accessibility space for people with visual impairments. So I am very excited to introduce Nick to you all today and have him share information with us about training screen reader users, testers. We do have a Q&A box that you can find down below. It is a little more helpful if you put that questions into the Q&A rather than in the chat, because sometimes they can get buried in the chat. I will be monitoring that, and then I'm going to go on mute for now, and I'm going to stop sharing my screen and let Nick take over.
Thank you, Amber. Thank you to Equalize Digital and the WordPress Accessibility Meetup for hosting me as well today. So the topic of this is training screen reader user testers. This is a new program that I'm running at the Carroll Center for the Blind. It's been offered twice. It's going to be offered for the third time this fall. Originally, it was designed by two people. One person who used to work in finance and then found himself after losing his vision, many years working in accessibility, kind of climbing the ladder. Someone else who worked with him, who same thing, was teaching assistive technology, found her way to digital accessibility, and now is working for a Fortune 500 company. I started teaching assistive technology, and now I'm in digital accessibility. I was speaking to one of my close friends the other day who advises the education system for an entire state. And that state is now paying for him to go get training in digital accessibility, specifically screen readers. So there's a big demand for this. And I think that training screen reader user testers is really the intermediary point between, you know, demand and providing someone who knows those skills. I myself am a screen reader user. I have been for quite a while, and I've taught probably well over 200, 300 people how to use assistive technology. So I've kind of gotten a sense over the time, what works best for people? What's the easiest way to do something and yet be extremely thorough and comprehensive? And what skills do we need to kind of lay the groundwork so we can continue to develop our skills even further? And that's what this course does. This course brings you deep into the operating system of screen reader users, screen readers, and how they interact with digital products. This presentation, I'm not just going to talk at you the whole time. I'm going to do some demonstrations. And I'll do some screen share. But first, I just want to make sure I cover what I need to initially. So let's talk a little bit about, you got who I am, but let's talk about the Carroll Center. The Carroll Center for the Blind, it's a residential rehabilitation center located in Newton, Massachusetts. And I am really an advocate for the Carroll Center. I see great things going on there. The mission, everyone who works there is devoted to the mission, to making change, having an impact. And this program and training screen reader user testers is just one of the latest examples of how we're trying to stay at the forefront of opportunities for people with blindness and visual impairments. So the Carroll Center, check it out at www.carroll.org. It's a great place, and it's a mission I think a lot of people can get behind. And now let's kind of jump into the meat of the presentation. So what is the screen reader user tester training program? It is a 7-week program presently. We hold it from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time. And we have optional support sessions in the afternoons, 3 days a week. It's taught by myself, as well as David Kingsbury, who I'm sure some of you have heard of, who has written multiple books on using screen readers with the Windows operating system. So we kind of divide up the content and we jump back and forth, kind of sprinkle about where we're offering our insights. And we go through a number of topics in this course. And I'm actually going to show you a couple of documents that we use in the course and walk through some steps that we might take. So I'm going to start my screen share here for you all. And I like to say the keyboard commands that I'm doing while I'm doing things. I think it helps people out. I won't do it always, but I'm just going to do it now. I pressed Control Shift Alt to jump over to my active Zoom meeting window, Alt S to share the screen. Just configure these settings. And I'll share the screen.
Screen share, meeting controls.
Right.
Leave transcription left or enclosed, captioning right or end has been enabled. Press F6 for more information about who can see the.
All right, so we just get Jaws talking a little bit there. We're going to keep it at this speed, which is kind of a medium.
Paolo Gonzalez has left the meeting.
Medium speed.
Paolo Gonzalez has joined the meeting. Participants can now see your screen.
All right, let's see. Hopefully this verbosity goes down a little bit. So I'm going to bring you over to a document that is going to be called Topic Schedule for Presentations. Just going to use Alt Tab to get there.
Talking points, topic schedule for presentations dash Excel. Please wait. Topic alert. This document.
Maximize my window.
Restore. R. Leaving menus. Session. First cell.
So if we think about any kind of program, if we want to teach someone something, we want to modularize it. We want to make it easy to digest. So we can simply get a breakdown of how I've modularized this course in the Screen Reader User Tester Training Program by our column headers here. And a column header is just the first cell in the in a row going across the top of a spreadsheet or any given table. This first one says session, that just corresponds to a specific week of the program. There are 7 weeks.
Date, B1.
Date for any given topic as we go down this column.
Time, C1.
Time when it's held.
Content category, D1.
Every topic that we teach, I've broken down into, I think, one of 7 different categories. I'll show you those categories in a moment.
Topic, B1.
Here's all the topics.
Description, F1.
Description of that topic.
Meetings, G1.
This column is going to disappear.
Presenter left paren, right paren, H1.
And our presenters, a couple more things. But this spreadsheet, if we hit Control End.
Last cell, blank, J141.
141. So we see we have quite a few rows in this spreadsheet. So whenever we have a lot of rows in a spreadsheet, we're going to want to use a filter situation. So I'm just going to go to the top of the spreadsheet here, Control Home.
First cell, session, A1.
And we just hear the name of that cell announced, which is session, and we hear the coordinate A1. We don't hear anything like filters applied. So I'm going to apply filters with Control Shift L. And it doesn't say anything, but if I right arrow to the next column.
Date B1, no filter applied, drop down button.
No filter applied. So let's go over to our categories column.
Time, C, content category, topic, content category, D1, no filter applied, drop down.
Now, I want to filter all these cells down to just a category that I want to bring our attention to. So let's expand this dropdown with Alt down arrow.
Menu, S.
If we Shift Tab 3 times, we'll get into a list of checkboxes.
Cancel, okay. Manual filter tree view left paren, select all right paren, checked. One of-
and select all is checked, meaning every category is selected, so every row will be displayed. I'll uncheck that.
Not checked.
And now I can go down arrow and just check just the categories that I want. I'll go down.
Level 0, assessments, not checked, 2 of 10.
So before I choose one, let's talk about each of these categories. Assessments. In the Screen Reader User Tester Training Program, we have 7 assessments. We have weekly quizzes in weeks 1 through 6, and we have a final exam in week 7. Week 1 through 6, these are multiple choice questions, and they're meant to reinforce and kind of confirm that you are gaining the knowledge that we're trying to teach in weeks 1 through 6. Week 7, the final exam, has 50 questions, and it incorporates the topics throughout the entire program, as well as the topics taught in week 7. I'll go down.
Coding and automated testing, not checked.
Coding and automated testing, we do get a little bit into that, and we will look a little bit at coding in this presentation today, not very deeply, but a little bit to get any kind of screen reader user tester started. Automated testing, we don't look too much at a lot of automated tools, but there is value in automated tools. So there's a lot of them out there. You know, you're in this WordPress Accessibility Meetup, so I recommend you check out the one that Amber has with her company, see what she's doing. If any screen reader user tester can also master an automated testing tool, they just increase their value wherever they go, whether it's at a company or a volunteer situation. Something I like to say is, you know, a lot of people who are blind or visually impaired, interested in tech, maybe some of us are looking for work. Something always leads to something. Nothing often leads to nothing. So if we do something, whether that be volunteer, part-time, contract, full-time, it will always lead to something else. Just a little thought. Let's go up and down.
Assess coding and automated testing.
So coding and automated testing, we'll go down again.
Course logistics, not checked.
Course logistics, just an intro to the course. We have some of those in the course. We want people to know how to interact with all the content.
Guests, not checked.
Guests, we have guest speakers from a bunch of different organizations, all different backgrounds. And I think it's really valuable to see what other people have done and how other companies are handling accessibility, just so a screen reader user tester can be aware of what is the environment they're operating within. Very important. We'll go down.
Guidelines, standards, and laws, not checked.
All right. We wouldn't have any of this screen reader user testing without guidelines, standards, and laws. And I think this is a good time to make a distinction between someone who says, I love accessibility and I have opinions, versus someone who says, I'm committed to accessibility and I adhere to guidelines.
This episode of Accessibility Craft is sponsored by Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker, the WordPress plugin that helps you find accessibility problems before you hit publish. Thousands of businesses, nonprofits, universities, and government agencies around the world trust Accessibility Checker to help their teams find, fix, and prevent accessibility problems on an ongoing basis. New to accessibility? Equalize Digital Accessibility Checker is here to teach you every step of the way. Whether you're a content creator or a developer, our detailed documentation guides you through fixing accessibility issues. Never lose track of accessibility again with real-time scans each time you save, powerful reports inside the WordPress dashboard, and a front-end view to help you track down hard-to-find issues. Scan unlimited posts and pages with Accessibility Checker free. Upgrade to Accessibility Checker Pro to scan your website in bulk, whether it has 10 pages or 10,000. Download Accessibility Checker today at equalizedigital.com/accessibility-checker. Use coupon code accessibilitycraft to save 10% on any plan.
Someone who is passionate about it but doesn't have the technical background and doesn't have the knowledge of what standards are out there, such as the WCAG, they're just going to make willy-nilly recommendations, and they may not fall directly into something that must be fixed, something that must be remediated. If we tell a developer that they need to fix this, but we don't offer why or point them toward anything that says, here's how, that developer is likely just going to let it fall to the wayside and that issue won't get remediated. But if we have knowledge of guidelines, standards, and laws, and we can say, all right, here's an issue, here's why it's an issue, here's what it's violating, and here's how to fix it, a developer is going to listen to us a lot more, and we're going to have a lot more value wherever we go. We'll go down again.
Prerequisites, not checked.
Prerequisites. Of course, there's a lot of stuff we need to know in order to be a screen reader user tester. Not a ton, though. It's manageable. We need to be pretty good with Excel, pretty good with Microsoft Word, good with file and folder management, email communications, navigating a website through a web browser. Familiar with Chrome, Edge, Firefox, proficient with a screen reader on our mobile device, iOS with VoiceOver. It's great if you also have some knowledge of TalkBack for Android. And if you can also learn a bit of VoiceOver with the Mac, that's great. So you just want to be as diverse as possible. The ones that I see being the most commonly requested is going to be Windows with JAWS or NVDA, and then VoiceOver with the iPhone. So if you start with those, you're going to be pretty good. Let's go down.
Projects, not checked.
People complete projects. And when we look at what a student profile, who's a typical student, we'll get a sense of what these projects are.
Screen readers, not checked.
Screen readers, I kind of touched on that in my prior statement.
User tester, not checked.
And user tester. This is very important. This is the meat of the program. Let me just go down once more.
Cancel button, S.
Cancel. So there's no more. Let's go up to user tester.
Manual filter tree view user tester. Indeterminate. 10 of 10.
And we'll go up and down.
User tester. Not checked.
We'll check that.
Checked.
And we'll hit OK.
OK button. Auto filter is on. First cell. Session.
Now, if we're going to look for something, let's look for a certain topic that we're going to teach. I'm just going to do a find. So we didn't really have to filter there, but it's kind of useful. So let's do Control F.
Find and replace.
I'll type tables.
Topic tables has hyperlink E36.
And we see tables and we see as a hyperlink. So that would bring us somewhere we could have more resources. But if I hit our right arrow, we're going to see a description of what we would learn with tables. I'm just going to slow down a little bit more.
Nick?
Sure.
Sorry to interrupt. Would you help us slightly make your column or your columns a little wider? Maybe just the description one. It's pretty narrow.
Alt followed by auto fit column width. Leaving menus, leaving ribbons. Tab, analysis lens.
Is that any better?
It is, although it's so wide now that I don't know if we can see the full description.
Okay.
I didn't know if you intended for everyone to be able to read the description.
No, I think that would be great. I don't think I can fix it quickly right here.
Okay.
But I will slow down the screen just so it will read it, and we'll give that a go.
Hear.
Sure. Let me just figure out where I'm at.
Lists continued, has tables, has tables, continue, tables, has hyper.
So let me slow down the screen reader for this reading of this longer passage.
Slower, slower, slower.
And we'll go right and we'll see, what do we learn about tables in the screen reader user tester training?
Description, learn to user test tables and become familiar with data, layout, complex, simple, and graphical tables, visual presentation of content for association, and table summaries, captions, and names, F36, adjacent to hidden cells.
So it's kind of the meat. What is a table? And what are all the things we need to know about when dealing with tables? So I think we're going to take a look at an actual example of this, and this is going to feed us right into the next documents we're going to look at. Let me just bring the speed up a little bit more.
Faster, faster.
Quick time check.
11:30 a.m.
Okay. So I have a Google Chrome tab open already. I'm going to Alt-Tab over to that.
Meeting controls. Talking points dash word. Use TalkBack gesture. Presentation. Use TalkBack gestures dash Android accessibility help dash Google Chrome. Use TalkBack. Context menu. Leaving menus. Use TalkBack gestures dash Android accessibility help.
And it looks like I do have some high contrast here, so I hope that's okay for everybody. I threw a place marker on a certain heading here, so I'm just going to press K.
Control TalkBack heading level 2.
And if I go down, we'll have a button.
Version 9.1 and up button collapsed.
Version 9.1 and up button collapse. So that's talking about probably an Android version. But we'll expand that button. Actually, before we expand it, let's go down once more.
Version 8.2 and lower button collapsed.
All right, so we have version 9.1 and up or 8.2 and below. If I go up to 9.1.
Version 9.1 and up button collapsed.
And expand this.
Main region, version 9.1 and up button expanded.
And now go down.
Table with 3 columns and 10 rows.
We see a table has been inserted in the web content between those two buttons. This table is what we're going to look at here. So let me go down once more.
Action.
And we hear action. So we now realize that we are within the table. Let's orient ourselves to this table and let's figure out, is this table working ideally for a screen reader user or not? And if not, what's wrong with it? So when navigating a table, we have a couple ways. If we're using JAWS, we can use our table layer commands. Insert space, T, and then just use the arrows. But I'm just going to use Alt-Control in my arrows to move, across a row or up and down a column. So I'll hold down Alt-Control in my left hand, and I'm going to hit the right arrow.
Gesture, column 2.
And we hear gesture, column 2. If I go up,
top of column,
we hear it's the top of the column. So we know that gesture is in row 1. Let's go left.
Action, column 1.
Action in column 1. So in column 1, we have action. Column 2, we have gesture. And in column 3,
gesture, multi-finger gesture, column 3,
we have multi-finger gesture. These three things are known as our column headers. So let's just keep that in the back of our mind. Our column headers are action, gesture, and multi-finger gesture. Let's come back over to column 1. I'll do Alt-Control left a couple of times.
Gesture, action, column 1.
And now let's go down.
Pause or resume speech, row 2.
Pause or resume speech, down again.
Start or stop media, row 3.
Start or stop media. These are our row titles, right? So if we go up to this one.
Pause or resume speech.
Pause or resume speech. And we want to know how to do that with the gesture. We would look for the cell that intersects the column title and the row title, or the column header and the row header. So if I go right.
Dash dash, column 2.
It just says dash dash. I don't know what that dash dash means. Let me go right again.
2 dash finger tap, column 3.
And here we hear 2-finger tap, but we didn't hear the column header. If we go up,
multi-dash finger gesture,
multi-finger gesture, and now we go down.
Two-finger tap.
We see that the multi-finger gesture for, oh, and now what was in this row? We have to go back and look.
Dash, pause or resume speech.
Pause or resume speech. So the multi-finger gesture for pause or resume speech is a, what is it? I have to go back again to the right.
Two-finger tap. Column.
A two-finger tap. So a screen reader user would notice that there's an issue here. And the issue is that column and row headers are not announced as table data is navigated. And that makes it difficult for a screen reader user to make associations of table data to its table headers, row or column. So we could tell that to a developer and we could say, you know, this isn't working quite right. And a developer would probably figure out why that's not working right pretty quickly. But then again, a developer made this table and they made it this way in a way that is not super accessible. So here's something about a screen reader user tester. What would an average person do right now? And what would a screen reader user tester do right now? I think a standard screen reader user would just kind of accept this and they would kind of try and figure it out and they would move on. A screen reader user tester is going to be curious. If you're someone who's curious about why is this not working and how do I fix it, screen reader user testing may be for you. Now let's fix this. So I want to bring our focus back to the start of this table. I happen to know it's the only table on the page. So I'm just going to hit T to wrap.
Wrapping to top, table with three columns and 10 rows, column one, row one, action.
And we hear that we're on column one, row one, and we're on action. So let's just review what is the issue. We're just going to go down.
Pause or resume speech, row two.
We'll go right.
Dash dash, column two.
Again.
Two dash finger tap, column three.
And again, see, we're hearing the gesture one, which is there's no regular gesture. That's why it's dash dash. And a multi-finger gesture, we see what it is there. But we don't get those column titles. So let's change this. Now let's wrap again with T.
Wrapping to top, table with three columns and 10 rows, column one, row one, action.
There's action. We're going to open up DevTools and we're going to inspect this particular element. So we're going to do our applications or context menu. We'll do it anyway. Shift F10 is popular on a Dell computer. It's function right control. Sometimes you can do a right mouse click, which is your screen reader key. Well, I just say insert and nine, but we'll do the contextual menu here.
Menu, use talkback gestures dash.
And we'll up arrow.
Inspect, 11 of 11, end.
And we find inspect. I'm going to press enter.
Leaving menus, use talkback gestures dash Android accessibility help dash.
Now, if I read my title bar.
Title is devtools dash support.google.com/.
We see it's devtools with support.google.com. So it's devtools for the page we were working on. If you try and do this on your own, it might not pop up in this window. DevTools typically by default will open up in the same window as the web page you're viewing. So there's a quick setting. You just kind of tab around and look for it. And you choose to, it's like detach the DevTools window to its own window or something like that. If you Google just how to make DevTools appear in its own window, you'll probably find the answer. But now, what is DevTools going to show us here? All we're going to worry about is that it's going to look at the DOM. And what is the DOM? So when we look at a web page, let's say we look at a web page visually. We're looking at that page, we're looking at all its content, and we're seeing something that's visually pleasing to us. If we're navigating a web page with a screen reader, we're hearing what the screen reader is saying, and we're hearing it in a way that it's auditorily pleasing to us. So a web page is really just an interface for a user. What's a screen reader doing though? A screen reader is actually crawling over the code of a page and reporting that code to you in a way that's auditorily comprehensible. And where that code exists is in the DOM. And by opening DevTools, we can actually look at that code as opposed to looking at the proper and finalized and clean looking web interface. That's the web page itself. So here we are in DevTools. I'll just let anyone know who's using a screen reader and wants to try this on their own. I do have my forms mode set to manual so that I'm not automatically popping into forms mode. If forms mode were with auto, we would have heard like a pop as we came in here. But let's just go up arrow.
Page DOM.
And we hear page DOM. If I go down.
Less strong greater action, less strong greater tree view item selected, one of two.
And we hear this weird thing. It sounds like code, right? less/strong greater action. I don't know what that means. I don't know code. You don't really have to. You'll see that as we go through this, you only have to listen for a couple key things. If I go down again,
DOM tree explorer main region end.
We hear the DOM has ended. So this middle area of the DOM,
less strong, greater action, less slash, strong, greater tree view item selected, one of two.
This tree view item, if we hit enter, we pop into where we can actually maneuver the DOM. I'll hit enter. And now I'll just kind of go up to get my bearings.
Level 17, less TD greater open, one of four.
Okay, we hear less TD greater open. Let's close that with left arrow. It doesn't tell us it closed, but it did, so I'll go up again.
Level 16, less TR greater open, one of 11.
Okay. Now we hear less TR greater open. A TR is a table row. So that table we were looking at where we had action, gesture, multi-finger gesture, that's the first row of a table. If I go up one more time.
Level 15, less body greater open.
We see less body. Less body is just, you know, it indicates the start of or the content of a web page. So that it's obvious that a less body tag would precede a less table row tag, right? Because a table row is contained within the body of a web page. And, you know, we might be moving kind of fast here. This stuff typically wouldn't be introduced at all in week one or two in the program that I'm teaching. So we have a lot of background information, but we're kind of taking a leap ahead here. Let's go down to that first table row.
Level 16, less TR greater open, one of 11.
And we hear that it's open. And we want that open, right? Because if we collapse it with left arrow, and now down arrow.
Less TR greater, less slash TR greater closed.
We see there's another table row. Tags often have a less greater, and then at the end of the tag is a less slash greater with a certain kind of word inserted between the less and greater. The slash just indicates an end tag. No slash indicates an open tag. So since we closed the first table row tag, it jumped to the next table row tag. So we don't get to see what's contained in that row. But if we go back up,
less TR greater, less slash TR greater closed,
and open this with right arrow,
less TR greater open, less,
we can have down arrow.
Level 17, less TD greater, less slash TD greater closed, one of four.
And we have three less TD, less slash TD graders here. I'll go down.
Less TD greater, less slash TD greater closed.
That's two.
Less TD greater, less slash TD greater closed.
That's three.
Less slash TR greater.
That's the next table row. So these three, that kind of aligns with what we were seeing on our web page, right? We had a table and we had three columns. We had action, gesture, multi-finger gesture. So as we expand these table data tags, I'm expecting we're going to see action in one of them. We'll see gesture and we'll see multi-finger gesture in one of them. Let's go up to the first one.
Less TD greater, less slash TD greater closed.
Let's expand that with right.
Less TD greater open, less TD greater open.
And we'll go down.
Level 18, less strong greater action, less slash strong greater, one of two.
Right. So we see action. Now, all we're going to do is we're going to change the table data tag to a table header tag. We'll go up.
Level 17, less TD greater open, one of four.
Right there. So if I just hit F2, you know, if you're ever editing a file name in like this PC or any kind of cloud storage desktop app, you use F2 to edit the file name. Same thing here. We'll do F2 and it'll allow us to edit this tag.
DevTools document, elements panel tab panel, elements, DOM tree explorer.
Cool. I just hit control to silence the output. But we can trust that our cursor focus is kind of at the beginning of that tag. So I'll go right.
T, D, greater.
All right. So TD greater. I'm just going to backspace the D.
D.
Type H.
And elements panel tab panel, elements.
We don't actually hit escape. We hit F2 again to stop editing.
DevTools dash support.
And if I go up.
Less TH greater, less slash TH greater closed.
And up again.
Level 16, less TR greater open.
Right. So it did it.
Level 17, less TH greater, less slash TH greater closed.
And it actually collapsed it for us, which is fine. We'll go down again.
Less TD greater, less slash TD greater closed.
So let's do the same thing here. Let's change this one, which if I expand it.
Less TD.
Down arrow.
Level 18, less strong greater gesture, less slash strong.
It's associated with a gesture. So I'll go up.
Level 17, less TD greater open.
I'm going to collapse that. I'll go up and down, just make sure it's closed.
Less TD greater, less slash TD greater closed.
Now we don't need to expand it to edit it. So I'll just hit F2.
DevTools document, elements panel.
Right arrow to find the D.
T, D, greater.
Delete the D.
D.
Type an H. Hit F2.
Elements panel tab panel. DevTools.
Double check, I'll go up in the DOM.
Less TH greater, less slash TH greater closed.
Down.
Less TH greater, less slash TH greater closed.
Down again.
Less TD greater, less slash TD greater closed.
Right, and this is the final one, which would be a multi-finger gesture. Again, right arrow to expand, down arrow to confirm the content of the table data. But I'm just going to trust, and I'm going to hit F2.
DevTools document.
Right arrow to find the D.
T, D, greater.
Delete the D.
D.
Type an H. F2.
Panel tab panel. DevTools.
All right. Up.
Less TH greater.
Down.
Less TH greater.
Down again.
Less slash TR greater.
And now there's the next table row. But before we do that, let's come back to our web page. So let's Alt-Tab.
Use talk back gestures dash Android accessibility help dash Google Chrome.
Let's navigate to the table with T.
Table with 3 columns and 10 rows.
So if we come down to the next row, Alt Control down.
Pause or resume speech, row 2.
Pause or resume speech. Now remember, when we went right before, all we heard was dash dash, so we had no idea what that dash dash was associated with. But now,
gesture, dash dash, column 2.
It announces gesture and then dash dash. And if we go right again,
multi-dash finger gesture, 2-dash finger tap, column 3.
Right, and it says multi-finger gesture and 2-dash finger tap. So it's reading the column header for us. Now, it's not just for this row. If I come back to the left,
gesture action, beginning of row,
and go down like 6.
Start, answer, talk, practice gestures, row 6.
There's practice gestures. I go to the right.
Gesture, dash, dash, column 2.
Right again.
Multi-dash finger gesture, 4-dash finger tap, column 3.
Right, and it works just fine. But what happens if I go up?
3-dash finger tap, row 5.
I hear 3-finger tap.
2-dash finger double tap, row 4.
2-finger double tap.
2-dash finger double tap, row 3.
And I have no idea what these are. So that means that the row titles aren't being announced. So let's go find one that we want to test out. We'll go Alt Control left.
Just action. Start or stop.
Let's go to the top with Alt Control up, 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 up.
Pause at top, top, top of column.
And let's come down.
Pause or resume speech, row 2.
Pause or resume speech. We're going to use that one. It's the first cell in column. It's column 1, row 2. So let's go up.
Action, row 1.
Let's go right.
Gesture, column 2.
Gesture. Let's go to multi-finger gesture.
Multi-dash finger gesture.
So if we come down.
2-dash finger tap, row 2.
Right. It just says multi-finger tap. Let's change it so it reads the row title, then it reads that. So let's Alt-Tab over to our dev tools.
devtools-support.google.com/accessibility/.
And we should still be here in the DOM. Let's go down.
Level 16, less TR greater, less slash TR greater closed, 2 of 11.
So we hear a table row. I don't know if that's the table row I want. I'll go up.
Level 17, less slash TR greater, 4 of 4.
Less table row.
Less TH greater, less slash TH greater closed.
All right, so that sounds familiar, right? We just made that table header there. I'm going to hit left.
Level 16, less TR greater open, 1 of 11.
Left again, and up.
Level 15, less body greater open, 1 of 2.
So there's the body.
Level 16, less TR greater, less slash TR greater closed.
That's the table row that we already edited for our column headers. Let's go down.
Less TR greater, less slash TR greater closed.
Here's the next row in the table. So it's a TR table row. We'll write arrow to expand it.
Less TR greater open, 2 of 11.
Now this one will likely also have 3 table data cells. In this case, the first one should be a row header, which is, you know, what is the action that happens. The other two, though, those shouldn't be row headers. Those should stay as table data cells because they are data for the table. They're the gestures. They don't indicate associations between themselves and a subordinate table cell. They are the subordinate table cell to the row header or the column header. So we'll go down.
Level 17, less TD greater pause or resume speech, less slash TD greater, 1 of 4.
All right, so less TD greater pause or resume speech, less slash TD greater. That TD says table data. It tells the screen reader that that's a table data cell. It's not a table header cell. So there's no kind of semantic relationship between that cell and the other cells in the table. Let's F2.
DevTools document.
Right arrow.
T, D, greater.
Delete the D.
D.
Type an H and hit
panel
F2.
Panel. DevTools.
I'm doing my best to not talk when the screen reader's talking. Sometimes it does unexpectedly. I'm going to Alt-Tab back over to the web page.
Use talk back gestures dash Android accessibility help.
And I'm going to jump to the table.
Wrapping to top, table with 3 columns and.
I'm going to navigate across this first row till I get to multi-finger gesture.
Gesture, multi-dash finger gesture.
And now I'm going to come down.
Pause or resume speech, 2-dash finger tap, row 2.
And we fixed this one. So in this instance, what we've done is we've fixed it, which is kind of neat. And now we know exactly what's wrong. So if we're dealing with a developer, we might say the table on the what's the title? Let's read the title bar.
Title is use talk back gestures dash Android accessibility.
So use talk back gestures. The table located on the use talk back gestures web page that is displayed when the version 9.1 and up button collapsed is expanded does not have its table headers announced for columns or rows when navigating table data cells. That's a lot more technical than just saying this table is difficult to understand. Gives a developer concrete information on how to fix it. Now, DevTools doesn't change the web page itself. So like anything we just did in DevTools didn't actually change the code of this web page. It just changed it temporarily for our instance of it right now. So if I refresh this page with F5,
use talk back gestures dash.
I just did it.
And page has 8 region views.
I'll press T.
Table with 3 columns and 3.
I'll go down.
Move to the next item on the screen. Root.
And I'll go right.
Right. Column 2.
Right.
Dash dash. Column 3.
It's not announcing anything. So DevTools has been cleared. With quick time check.
11:49 a.m.
All right. I have one. I'm going to close DevTools and then go over and look at another document I have called the Glossary for Desktop User Testing, which is something we provide to all of our students. After that, I'll see if there are any questions. But this will just give us a little bit of reiteration of how this is an issue and also how a beginner screen reader user tester would associate this with cleanly drafted text to give to a developer. So I'm going to Alt tab over to DevTools.
DevTools-support.google.
I'm going to Alt F4.
Use talkback gestures dash.
Now I'm going to Alt F4 to a new document we haven't looked at, which is going to be called Glossary for User Testing something.
Topic schedule, meeting control, talking point presentation, student one, glossary of findings and explanations for desktop dash Excel, alert.
Glossaries of findings and explanations for desktop. So we've created glossaries for desktop, which just means interacting with a web page through a desktop browser. And primarily we've created this glossary while using JAWS mainly, but also NVDA for some. And we also have another glossary for testing mobile devices, websites, and applications, and another glossary for testing PDF documents. So let's come up here to the very top with Control Home.
First cell.
And before we, well, what's our objective here? Why did we come to this document, first of all? We came to this document to learn about tables, what can go wrong with tables from a screen reader user tester perspective, and how to report that to a developer. So what are our column titles in this spreadsheet, which is always important? I'm just going to do insert up to read the current cell.
Categories, findings, explanation.
Okay. Oh, it read all the way across, but I'll just go right.
Categories, A.
There we go. Categories is the first cell.
Findings, B1.
Findings.
Explanations.
Explanations.
Instances.
Instance.
Impact levels.
Impact.
Tester notes.
Notes.
Related WCAG success criteria.
And a WCAG success criteria. We've created this for, you know, like I said, desktop browsers, mobile devices, PDF documents, for popular screen readers. And these are representative samples of pretty much any accessibility issue you might find that you can test with a screen reader. Of course, we probably didn't get everything, but it is definitely enough to get you going. So let's go to the category section.
First cell, categories, A1.
I'm gonna apply filters, just like we did in the topic schedule, Control Shift L, Alt down arrow to expand the dropdown.
Menu, S.
Which isn't really a dropdown, it's just a filter menu. And Alt down arrow happens to work for it, but I wouldn't technically call this a drop-down menu. We'll shift tab 3 times to get to our, I think they call it a list or a table.
Cancel, okay, manual filter, tree view, left paren, select all, right paren.
And it's a tree view, which again, tree views typically contain items that can be expanded or collapsed. This does not. So it's a little funky that they call this a tree view. But again, we're going to unselect all by hitting space.
Not yet.
And we want to look specifically at tables. I could press T to jump right to it, but let's go down and just see some of the other categories of elements that we teach screen reader users to interact with and to understand, to assess, to report on. So we'll go down.
Level 0, carousels. Not-
carousels. A lot of people don't like carousels, but they're fun for a screen reader user tester because they get you to think. Down.
Sort Z to A. Oh, sort A to
A. Something happened, so I just hit escape.
First cell.
I'm going to reapply the filter.
Menu, S, OK, but manual, not checked.
Okay, we'll go down.
Carousels, error identification, error suggestion, focus order left paren i.e, tab order right paren, not checked.
These are all issues we can look for.
Forms are name, role, value, graphics, not checked. Headings, not checked. Iframes, not checked. Keyboard, not checked. Language of page slash language of parts, not links, not checked. Lists, not checked. Meaningful sequence left paren i.e, reading order right paren, not media content and players, not checked. Multiple ways, not checked. Other, not checked. Page title, not checked. Regions, not checked. Site navigation, not checked. Skip links, not checked. Tables, not checked.
And here's tables. So let's just hit space to check tables.
Checked.
Tab to OK.
OK button, S.
Activate.
Auto filter is on.
Now, if I come over to my next column.
Findings, B1.
We have findings. So we have three different things here I want to point out. We have findings, explanations, instances. Findings are going to be general statements about accessibility issues. Explanations are going to be reasons why a finding is relevant and should be fixed. Instance is going to be language to point a developer directly to the issue that we see on a web page. Now, since web accessibility is kind of like an evolving industry, many different companies may have different approaches to how they would like people to test and report accessibility findings. This is a way that we've developed internally at the Carroll Center. And I, from what I've seen and user testing I've done, even if this isn't exactly how a company might like a screen reader user tester to report, this is, it does contain all the knowledge and more than the required knowledge to report and work as a screen reader user tester for a company. So in this findings column, we're just going to go down. Everything's been filtered to tables, and we're going to try and find a cell that corresponds to what we just saw on the Using TalkBack website. Again, what we saw was that table headers were not announced for columns or rows when navigating the cells of the table. So let's go down and let's listen and see when we find that. Here we go.
Tables. A significant amount of data included for comparison is displayed in text.
A significant amount of data is displayed in text. That doesn't sound right. Let me slow this down a little bit.
Slower.
Next one.
Tables, columns, and slash or rows are left blank.
Columns and rows are left blank? Not quite. Some of our cells had --- in them, but they weren't left blank. We'll go down.
Tables. The table contains multiple column headers that span multiple rows and are not announced by a screen reader.
Spanning. I'll just tell you that gets a little confusing for someone who's never thought about it before, but this is not what we were doing there. Down again.
Tables. Some single cells in the table contain information that should be located in multiple cells.
All right. So, you know, too much information contained in one cell. That's not what's going on for us.
Tables. Table column and slash or row headers are not announced by a screen reader.
Okay, cool. This is it. Table, row, and column headers are not announced by a screen reader. If we go right, we'll see the explanation for this.
Explanations. Column and slash or row headers should be marked up properly so that screen reader users can understand the relationship between the data and the corresponding column and slash row headers. Improperly marked up data tables. Column headers are announced when screen reader users navigate to the next or previous column and slash or row headers are announced when navigating to the next or previous row. See 120.
We're going to read that again, much slower. So let me slow the speed down.
Slower.
I'm going to go left.
Finding.
Okay. Let's listen to this again. So again, table column headers and row headers are not announced for screen reader users. Here's the explanation.
Explanations. Column and slash or row headers should be marked up properly so that screen reader users can understand the relationship between the data and the corresponding column and slash row headers. Improperly marked up data tables. Column headers are announced when screen reader users navigate to the next or previous column and slash or row headers are announced when navigating to the next or previous row. See 129.
Cool. There's the explanation. We don't have an instance for this. If I jump to the end of this row, we do have assigned WCAG success criteria.
Related WCAG success criteria. 1, 3, 1 info and relationships left paren level A right paren has hyperlink.
All right, we've hyperlinked to that success criteria. So what we're saying here is we're saying that where a table does not have its column and row headers announced to a screen reader user, this is violating WCAG 2.1 success criteria 1, 3, 1 info and relationships. Now, what is WCAG success criteria 1, 3, 1 info and relationships? I think looking at one more document here will wrap up this topic and then we can see about questions. So I could hit enter here, it would open a tab in my browser. I already have that open in my browser, so I'm gonna alt tab over to it.
Use TalkBack gestures dash enter.
And I have three tabs open here. I know the third tab is the WCAG success criteria for 1, 3, 1. So I'm gonna hit control 3 to jump to it.
Final exam dash yet.
Oh, wrong one. 2.
Understandings.
There we go. Let's speed up this voice just a tad.
Faster.
Let's read our title bar.
Title is Understanding Success Criterion 1, 3, 1 colon info and relationships dash Google Chrome dash Nick left paren Carroll Center.
Okay. Understanding Success Criterion 1, 3, 1 info and relationships. So that's kind of cool. All of the success criteria have a little label with them. And this one's info and relationships. So it's just kind of like information that is conveyed visually must be programmatically conveyed to screen reader users. So just if something is presented in, to someone in one modality, that same information must also be presented in modalities for other people who access the information in a different way. If you just Google like WCAG 2.1 guidelines, and you'll find a big list and there's headings there. I think your WCAG is broken down into principles, guidelines, success criteria. Your principles are all at, I think, level 2 headings, guidelines level 3, success criteria level 4. So you can kind of jump around that webpage. Beneath each success criteria on the WCAG 2.1 website is an understanding the success criteria link. And that is the page that we are on right now, the Understanding 131 Info and Relationships WCG 2.1 Success Criteria. Quick as a little side thought, as we're looking at this one here, just keep in mind, I'm talking specifically about WCAG 2.1, not 2.2. 2.2 is slated to be like released this month. The only difference between 2.1 and 2.2 is that they are adding additional success criteria. I think right now there's 78 success criteria in WCAG 2.1, and they're adding 9 additional success criteria in 2.2. So that's the only difference. You only have to orient to 9 more success criteria, which isn't a daunting task. Once we get WCG 3.0, that'll be a complete revamp, I believe, but that's like 5 years down the road. So let's jump to the main region on this page for 131 Info and Relationships. With JAWS, Q, Q will get us there. I'll press that.
Main region.
And let's down arrow and read a little bit.
Heading level 2, intent. The intent of the success criterion is to ensure that information and relationships that are implied by visual or auditory formatting are preserved when the presentation format changes. For example, the presentation format changes when the content is read by a screen reader or when a user style sheet is substituted for the style sheet provided by the author.
Right, so we don't want to try and understand any of that right now. We can hear it and we can understand that it's telling us a little bit about what's going on here for 131. And this is really where you want to go. This is where you're going to get the meat of your knowledge as a screen reader user tester. This gives you all your legitimacy and how you can validate what you're saying. I want to point you to one section on this page called examples. I'm going to use my headings to get there. I'm going to press H.
Note heading level 3. Benefits heading level 2. Examples heading level 2.
And we have a list of examples here. And I'm just going to go down and try and find an example that matches kind of what's going on the website we just looked at for using TalkBack on Android, where the table, column, and row headers weren't announced. I'm going to do control down arrow to move by paragraph.
List of 5 items. Bullet A form with required fields.
All right, a form? No.
A form contains several required fields. Bullet A form that uses color and text to...
Another form. The table is not a form. We don't care about that.
A form contains both bullet A bus schedule table where the headers for each cell can be programmatically determined.
All right, that sounds right, right? A table, a bus schedule, anything with a table and headers to be programmatically determined. This is in relation to what we were talking about. Let's go down and see if there's an explanation.
A bus schedule consists of a table with the bus stops listed vertically in the first column and the different buses listed horizontally across the first.
So what it just said there is your buses are in the first column all the way to the left of your table. If you imagine a piece of graph paper, it'd be Braille graph paper, column 1 is on the left side going up and down. Those are all your bus numbers going across the very top of that piece of paper. In the little squares of the grids of a table is the bus stops, right? So as we're moving in the meat of that table, we want to see that the column and row titles are announced. Let's see if they say anything more about this.
Row. Each cell contains the time when the bus will be at that bus stop. The bus stop and bus cells are identified as headers for their corresponding row or column so that assistive technology can programmatically determine which bus and which bus stop are associated with the time in each cell.
Right. So they're saying that the column headers and row headers are announced as table headers. And if you recall, when we edited our table in DevTools, we were taking TD tags, less TD greater, and changing it to less TH greater. So from table data to table header. Let me jump over here really quick.
Meeting control.
Stop my screen share. And I think now might be a good time to see, are there any questions about what we've said so far?
There were a few. Let's see. So a quick and easy one. Mark was wondering, is that glossary Excel spreadsheet something that the Carroll Center makes available to the public, or is that just for your students?
Presently, this is only available to our students. It's constantly being updated. And if you think about it, like if we have issues that are going on for the web is not a static thing. It's always changing. So this glossary has to be constantly updated. And that's presently updated by instructors of our program. So it's made available to our students. And we're working on continuing education opportunities for graduates of our program. Since it's a young program that's kind of still, you know, on the stove being cooked up. But no, the glossary is not publicly shared at this time.
Okay. So there's a question about the table. And I know we saw one of those as you were going through row items, but Bhutan asked, if the web page developer inserts a blank space in a table cell using a space bar, do screen readers announce it as blank? And would that be preferable to the dash dash?
I would say, so I think this is a good time to point out how much coding is actually used for a screen reader user. When you say spacebar there, it sounds like we're getting a little technical, like into the minutiae of how should a table be coded. And there's so many different ways to go about coding things, not just a table, but maybe an element, a button. A button can use a native HTML button tag, or you can build it as a custom element within a div tag. But all these things, they get into the code and they scare people away. You don't need to know all this to be a screen reader user. What you need to know as a screen reader user tester is, are you getting the information that you need to get? So if we're navigating a table and we land on a cell and it announces blank or it announces dash dash, it's something to know. I think the real key thing there is the associations of the column, row and column headers good and sufficient enough to make you know what that cell is supposed to do. We should never, though, be leaving blank cells in a table for formatting purposes. So if you want a blank column in a table, you really shouldn't code that column into the markup. You should use CSS to adjust the column width of the table to visually the style of the table with CSS. You don't use, so HTML is the structure of your page. You never use HTML structural elements to achieve a visual design. You want to use the appropriate code. And in this case, that would be CSS.
And I'm guessing in an instance like the table you showed us where there isn't a gesture, would it be best really for them, the content creator, to have written like the word none or in at like not applicable or something rather than just putting dashes?
Maybe. But if a screen reader user tester is reporting something like that, what they're really doing is they're making a recommendation from a user experience, not a user tester point of view. And if I had someone in my class who was spending a lot of time making recommendations like that, I would be concerned that they weren't trying to really get to the meat of what a screen reader user tester does. So that's just kind of language.
So that kind of thing is less a WCAG failure than a just a better user experience overall.
Correct. Yeah, and it's certainly advisable for screen reader user testers to make user experience recommendations when appropriate. But I would always wait if you're in any kind of subordinate role, you have a manager who's doing your projects, you'd want to know what does the client really want? Does the client want you to include user experience recommendations or not? If not, then there's no place for that kind of talk. If they do, it's great. Fantastic.
Yeah. How do you, I sort of have a follow-up on that. How do you draw the line between accessibility and user experience?
I think the more technical you become, the more you understand the code, the markup, WCAG, the more it's easy to draw that line. I think when you're beginning, it's very difficult to draw that line. So I'll speak with a lot of people who say that they love accessibility, but then a lot of what they talk about is strictly user experience. It's not accessibility, success or failure. So you draw the line as you learn, but it's definitely a gray area. So it is a judgment call kind of thing. So you need some creative aptitude in your kind of thinking processes.
Okay. This may be a follow-up and maybe you don't have anything else to add on that same, but there's another question that said, when web page authors hit the enter key to add more white space to web pages, does that add the announcement of blank for screen readers? And is that considered an annoyance or a problem?
I don't know particularly. I know I've built a web page just in Notepad using HTML, and then I've updated or opened that in a browser. And I've done that exact thing. I've thrown extra enters into the page I built. And it seems that those aren't detected by the screen reader as blank lines on the web page. But I have been on web pages where I experience blank lines. So I would say whenever you're doing any kind of stylistic thing, visual display, again, we want to bring it back to using CSS to accomplish that goal. But if you do come across a web page and you're hearing a blank line, that might be an ideal opportunity to open up DevTools, explore the DOM, and kind of figure out what is the code associated with that blank line that you're experiencing.
Mm-hmm. There was another question that came in the chat. Peter asked, are there context-specific screen readers or certain modes or settings. For example, would you be able to turn your screen reader into something where it understands HTML, and rather than reading, greater than slash less than, it would say like close TD tag?
No, I don't think so. I think what, if we were to actually kind of try and answer that, the screen reader does what that person is requesting when it's on a web page itself. So when we press T and we jump to a table, that's the screen reader interpreting the HTML in a comprehensible way. So there's no between area, I don't think. There's not like a let the screen reader interpret it just enough for someone using code so they don't have to know code. I don't think that's possible.
And if you were using the screen reader in like a code editor, it would still just read out the actual characters, like greater than, less than, all that.
Yeah.
Read out the HTML language, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct. It would read the markup as opposed to the UI interface that it typically would read.
Okay. Let me look and see. I think that might have been all of the questions right now. Oh, Isla did say she's heard that carousels are, quote, bad, but I noticed there's one on the Carol Center website. Can you speak to what makes that specific carousel work for screen readers? She's not a coder, but is very curious.
The Carol Center website. So I could pull it up now and try and actually run through it, but I think that might take a little bit of investigation on my part. For a screen reader user, it would take me probably about 5 minutes to orient to a carousel on a web page if I knew that that page contained a carousel. The issue with why people think carousels are bad is we don't always know that they are on a web page, and we hear web content change as we navigate the page. So my mind, when that happens, I'm either thinking that the page is refreshing, my focus is being jumped around, and there's something up with the web page, when actually I'm just encountering a carousel. So the question becomes, how can we make carousels better for screen reader users? I think if we say, stop using carousels, they're bad. And this is probably my perspective more than a recommendation by, entity that creates standards. But I would say I would never recommend to stop using something because it seems confusing. We should rather try and invent creative ways to make popular tools accessible. And that just benefits and furthers innovation. So for a carousel, for instance, one way to make this work a lot better is to nest it within a region. So if we nest a carousel within a region and we come to a web page, as we press R, we would jump to a region or all the regions of the page. And when we encounter the region containing the carousel, hopefully, we've labeled that region in such a way that it informs the screen reader user that it contains a carousel. So I believe we can give a region a name by itself, or we can use ARIA to assign a label to a region. And that way we would inform someone that a carousel exists. Other popular issues that appear with carousels is things like play, pause buttons not being labeled, a next or previous slide button being labeled right arrow or left arrow, where it just doesn't give you enough information. So those issues there with play, pause, next, previous, those are actually button concerns, but they're popular button concerns that happen in the context of carousels. So even right here, you've seen me say carousels, regions, buttons, and labels. Everything that we're teaching in the screen reader user tester training program is it intersects, and it creates this beautiful kind of ecosystem of knowledge that once you get the associations, you can start to paint these pictures in your mind and articulate those pictures to people of how the web works in an accessible way.
Yeah, I appreciate that. So it sounds like the screen reader user testers need to learn a lot of HTML.
No, in order to understand. Not a lot, really. I mean, if we were to try and break it down, I'd say if we can understand maybe 20 tags, pretty intuitive tags, like less header, less body, less a list tag, table tag, headers, graphics, links. You can kind of get a sense of those. We don't even need to look at code. We just look at less, word, greater. We do about 20 of those, and then we say this one relates to this one in this way. This one is subordinate to this one. This one is a parent to this one, and this one. and then we understand how they relate to one another. And once we do that, we can understand the hierarchy, the semantics of a page.
Okay. Well, I think those are all the questions we have for now. So I'll go back on mute and let you take back over.
All right, cool. So I believe my screen share is still not on, and I'll leave that off for now. I'm gonna jump over to a notes document I have. Let's see where I'm at. Okay, so let's look at a student profile. What does a typical student look like? A typical student of my program, or let's say maybe you don't even want to do the program that I teach, and you're just interested in screen reader user testing. What kind of person are you, and would that be a good fit for you? You've been using JAWS for at least 3 years, likely. It's kind of just a generic benchmark that we use, but you're familiar with it. You can create Word documents. You can edit Word documents with make sure they have no errors. You apply headings. You apply lists. The structure of your document makes sense. You say a heading level one is the primary name of your document. Then you have subsections of your document at heading level two, subsections to subsections at level three, right? So you're already implementing semantics in your own work. You access the web regularly. You browse for fun. You browse as part of work. You use web pages that you don't use all the time. So you have your standard group of web pages that you go to, but you also are very comfortable jumping onto new web pages and orienting yourself to it. Or you're semi-comfortable. Even if you're not very comfortable, in our course, we can get you there. So your prerequisites, you're kind of going to make sure that you have basic to intermediate web browsing skills with multiple tabs, Word document, emailing, a calendar. If you can use a calendar, that's preferred. If not, we teach it in our course, Google Calendar, Outlook Calendar. You're good with online video conferencing, and you're detail-oriented. You enjoy technology. You can sit there all day. So what does your workday look like as a screen reader user tester? You're at your computer. You're looking at digital products. You're analyzing them. You're thinking about them, and you're writing. Reading, writing, and thinking. That's what a screen reader user tester is doing toward the ultimate goal of communicating and remediating. So if that's you, that's great. Let's take another quick screen share here and come look at a student profile, what you would encounter in my course here. So I'm going to go to the Zoom window, Control-Shift-Alt, Alt-S. And share screen.
Started.
Just make sure it's not going to talk. Okay. So I have a folder open here called Student 1. I'm going to Alt-Tab over to that.
Talking point, understand, glossary, topics, presentation with Student 1. Student 1, ID.
Cool. So I have a number of files here. And in addition to the quizzes that we do in the course and the final exam, these are all of the documents that we're going to ask you to edit. So if I go to the top,
PowerPoint.
There is
About My SRUTT Experience Read.
About my SRUTT experience. SRUTT is screen reader user tester training. It's just a journal. We'd like people to keep a journal and let each student in my course or the course at the Carroll Center see each other's journal, kind of create community and learning experience. I think that's really powerful. If we go down,
PowerPoint project report.
People generate a PowerPoint. This is not graded, the PowerPoint. Each person is assigned, either an overview of WCAG or to talk about one of the four WCAG principles, which are perceivable, understandable, operable, and robust. So just take one of those and explain what it means. Another project is this one.
Project one report.
Project one report. We might go into this document and take a quick look at it. On this one, we go to a web page and we analyze that web page without a task script. So we look at the page and we say, all right, what's wrong with this page? And we kind of run through it by element and we report on that. So that's where we really have to look at that glossary document that we have and say, all right, here's the glossary. Here's everything possible that could be wrong with a web page. And here's this particular web page. Now, do things on this web page violate what's or align with the violations reported in the glossary of findings? As you get to know these things, you don't need the glossary over time and you can kind of analyze a homepage freestyle. And that's really the end goal, I think. Another report that people do is Project 2.
Project 2 report.
This one follows a task script, and we do this one with NVDA, where it's a task script follows a flow. So a flow would be anything like signing up for a newsletter, booking a train ticket, where the steps in the flow are interdependent. Like you must create an account before you purchase a ticket, that kind of thing. So it would be like task one, step one. So it'd be 1.1. Task one, step two would be 1.2. And then once you finish task one, you move on to task two. So it'd be 2.1, 2.2. So that just, it gives you a much more of a clear roadmap in screen reader user testing, as opposed to a freestyle web page manual audit, which we do in project one. If we go to
project three report.
This one is just analyzing, we analyze a mobile application on an iOS device with VoiceOver. And finally, our project four reports.
Project four report.
Looks at PowerPoint. So let's quickly look at one of these project reports. Let me check the time.
12:19 p.m.
Okay, we'll come on up.
Project two report, project one report.
And if we hit enter here.
Alert, this document is safe to edit. Please wait, glossary alert, this document is safe to edit.
So we're in, let's just read our title bar.
Title is project one report.
Cool. We have a couple of sheets. So we use a lot of Excel in this program. This first sheet is called specifications.
First,
and I'm going to fill it out with you. So if I go right,
user input,
we'll go down.
Tester name, colon, blank, B2.
So we'll just type test. I'll hit enter.
Does this report follow a task script?
We use a lot of drop-down menus here. So this one, we'll say, no, it does not. So I'll hit alt down to get a drop-down menu in the cell.
Yes, no.
I'll hit enter.
No, B3.
We'll go down.
Operating system, colon.
Another drop-down, we're going to select Windows.
Chrome, Mac, Windows.
Enter.
Windows, B.
Down.
OS version, colon.
We'll just put 11, enter.
Browser slash app colon.
Browser, let's do alt down.
Desktop app.
Let's choose Google Chrome. I'll go down through the list of choices.
Google Chrome.
I'll hit enter.
Google Chrome, B6.
Down again.
Browser slash app version colon, blank, B6.
We'll just put X.
Leaving table, edit.
Not sure what it is, we'll hit enter.
Screen reader colon, blank.
Here we'll select JAWS.
Chrome, JAWS.
Enter.
JAWS, B8.
Down again.
Screen reader version colon.
2022.
Leave.
Enter.
2022, B9.
And that's it on this sheet. So now if we come to our next sheet, control page down.
Report, first cell.
This looks just like the glossary that we looked at earlier, where we had all those, a table finding and a table explanation. So if we look on the left here, we have a date.
Web date, A1.
That would be the date for any issue we find. Go to the right.
Website URL, B1, contains formula.
That formula, you know, dependent upon our inputs on the specification sheet, this cell will say something different. If we said yes, it followed a task script, this cell would say task number. But go to the right.
Category, C1.
Right, we have category. If we come down.
Blank, C2, contains data validation drop.
This has a drop-down menu too. So if we're reporting something about headings, we would hit alt down here.
Page title.
We just go down through our choices till we find headings.
Language, meaning, focus, headings.
And hit enter.
Headings, C2.
So that's how we kind of fill out reports. Let me close this. I want to see if I can try and show you one more thing and have time for maybe one more question. So Alt+F4.
Microsoft Excel.
I'm not going to save that.
Alert. This.
Time.
12:22 p.m.
Okay. So PDFs. A lot of people get scared of PDFs. I think PDFs can be daunting. Mainly because we don't use them every day, right? We use the web all the time. But we don't use PDFs every day. But it's fairly simple to assess if a PDF is inaccessible and why that might be. So let's take a quick look at one. Let's Alt+Tab over here. We have a folder open called Presentation Materials. We're going to look for that.
Student 1, Meeting Control, Talking Point, Understand, Topics, Presentation Materials, Presentation.
And I think it's called Microwave Cooking or 03. I'm going to go 0. Or I'll just go down.
Glossary of Findings and Explanations, 03 Microwave Cooking.
There we go. I'm going to open this, and it's going to open Adobe. We do all our PDF testing in Adobe, and I want you to watch for the dialog box that's going to pop up. It may pop up right away. It may take a second, but we're going to watch for that dialog. So we'll hit enter. Let's read our title bar.
Title is 03 microwave cooking.pdf-adobe-acrobat-reader-dc-left-paren-64-bit-right-paren.
Okay, Okay, I think it might have popped up. We'll hit insert B, see if you can read a dialog box.
Reading untagged document with assistive technology dialog. Group, an assistive technology like a screen reader may be running on your machine. This untagged 3-page document must be prepared for reading with assistive technology.
All right, so we get this dialog box, and we see this a lot with PDF documents. It says, reading an untagged document with assistive technology. What does that mean? What is an untagged document? I like to think of it this way. A PDF document is just a local website, essentially. It's not on the web. It's a PDF. It's a protected document, but it works just like a website. You can navigate it with quick keys, headings, tables. There's links in it. There's graphics. But if it's not tagged, that means there's no markup backing up the content of that page. So let's say we were on a website and we pressed H and it says no headings on this page. Visually, there's got to be some headings. So it's like someone on a web page took text and they increased the size for a certain line of text. They bolded it. And now that's visually a heading to everyone. But programmatically, it's not coded as a heading. So screen reader users don't know that that heading exists because, you know, programmatically, it does not. It's just visually depicted. A PDF document that's untagged is doing much the same thing. It's been formatted to look good, but there's no semantics, no code, no tagging built into the markup of the document to make it accessible for screen reader users. I'm going to tab over to the OK button on this dialog.
Read the Do Not Start button. Alt.
Start. I'll hit space.
03 microwave cooking dot pd.
Okay. Now let's read the title bar.
Page has no links. Zero.
Insert T.
Title is 03 microwave.
Cool. So that dialog's gone. Now it said untagged, right? So if I hit H.
There are no headings on this page.
No headings. G.
Two graphic.
They got an unlabeled graphic. That's not great. A table?
There are no tables on this page.
No tables. But there's another way to determine if this document is tagged or not. But it's not intuitive. We have to be creative. So if we open up our properties dialog box within Adobe for a PDF document that we're analyzing, we can explore some things. So I'm going to press Control D.
Document properties dialog. The document security method.
And I'm going to switch over to the description tab. Just like how on a web browser, if we're changing tabs, I'm going to use Control Tab here.
Fonts tab.
Again.
Custom tab.
Again.
Advanced tab.
Again.
Description tab.
And here's the description tag, or tab. If I hit down arrow though.
Description tab, security tab, fonts tab, custom tab, advanced tab.
It's just reading the tab bar all the way across. I'll do it again.
Description tab, security tab, fonts tab, custom tab, advanced tab.
I can't move anywhere. But there's another way to access the content of this dialog. We could tab, but tab also doesn't show us everything. I'm going to route my PC cursor to my JAWS cursor with JAWS key left bracket.
Root JAWS to PC.
And now I'm going to turn on my JAWS cursor with JAWS key P.
JAWS cursor.
And now when I down arrow.
Description group. File colon 03 microwave cooking. Title colon microwave cooking for the college bound student.
Right, we can review a bunch of content.
Author colon Sandra Bastin.
Within this properties dialog box. And at the end of this thing, if I hit Control End.
Bottom of five.
And up arrow and listen for the word tagged.
Tagged PDF colon no fast web view.
Tagged PDF document colon no. So it's telling this is an untagged PDF document. So if we were working on an accessibility team and someone said, can you analyze this PDF document? This is one of the first things you would do. You would verify if this document is tagged or untagged. And there's a couple other ways we can look at PDF documents to analyze other accessibility barriers. So let me here, stop my screen share again.
Meeting controls.
And let's see, 12:27. So we're like 3 minutes. Are there any final questions, Amber?
I think it would be good to talk just a little bit, some like nuts and bolts questions about the Carroll Center, just for people who aren't familiar. So it's a nonprofit organization, right?
That's correct.
And is the training course in person or is it remote?
This training course is remote.
So people can live anywhere in the world?
Yes.
Cool. How long does it last?
7 weeks. This next offering is from October 3rd to November 18th from 9 a.m. to 3 p.m. Eastern time with tech support and job support sessions from 3:30 to 4:30 p.m. in the afternoons on Monday, Wednesday, Friday. It'll likely be held in the same kind of format in the spring, but I'm actively working toward trying to make this more of a self-paced course. That's not presently available, but that's something to watch out for in the future.
Okay. And do you do any, or would it be appropriate for a sighted person to take this course, or do you have a different one if they want to learn how to be a better screen reader tester, or even how to use screen readers in general? Or do you typically only focus on training people with who are blind or with visual impairments?
Due to our mission and our goal at the Carroll Center, right now we're focusing on providing this to people who are blind and lived screen reader users. We think that people who use screen readers every day have a certain set of skills that really can't be matched by someone just intellectually learning a screen reader and using it professionally, as opposed to every single day, all the time, needing to depend upon it. But we've had a lot of requests for sighted instruction on this same topic. So that's also something that I'm working on. It's a priority. I wouldn't say that it's an immediate priority.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I definitely agree with you. I think that bringing users in gives you a whole different picture of a website than, having the developer who developed it test it with a screen reader, right?
Sure.
On that front, I think you all also do user testing for companies or organizations who need their website tested. Is that right?
Not so much anymore. The Carroll Center is beginning a kind of a strategic pivot where this program is becoming the focus of our accessibility endeavors. But I don't think I'm at liberty to talk anymore about the activities there.
Okay. Let's see. We had one other question, I think, about the program. Does the program cover the importance of properties or metadata on files and web pages or long descriptions for complex or interactive content?
It does. Yeah. So a long description for a complex image is one way to, provide accessibility for something that contains too much content. Let's say maybe a map that shows the houses within a state, right? You can't really provide short alt text for that, so you need a long description. So we do talk about that. Metadata, if you look at a PDF document, and you read the title bar and it says .pdf in the end of the title bar, but then you look at the description page in the properties dialog box for a PDF document and you see that it does have a title, we're not really sure why the file name is being announced when the title bar is read, when the file in the actual title should be announced. That's an issue in the metadata. So we don't talk about remediating that metadata issue, but we definitely get to the point where we can understand when that is a problem.
Okay. I think that may have been all of the questions that came in. If someone wants to contact you for follow-up information or they want to learn more about the Carroll Center, what's the best way for them to do that?
If people want to learn more about, everyone can reach out to me directly. And let's see, if I open nick.corbett@carroll.org. So I just posted that. I think I posted that. If not, it's nick.corbett@carroll.org. That's my email. But if you also just Google Carroll Center for the Blind, you'll find the main website. We have a contact us link or form right on that page. If you also Google like screen reader user tester training, we'll be at like one of the top results in Google. And on that page, which also is going to be put in the chat, I think Paolo put it in there. There's a pre-screening assessment, which you can take to kind of see, would I qualify for this course? And there's no commitment to take that pre-screening assessment.
And so you're not doing the training through the Carroll Center anymore, but if someone needs to hire a screen reader user tester, you do job fairs and things like that?
Yeah, so all of our graduates, we're trying to work with a lot of companies in Massachusetts and around the country to create paid opportunities for our program graduates. This last spring, we had four people graduate. Within 2 months, three of them had 3 month paid internships, making well above minimum wage. And I think that was really cool to see. So we're continuing to promote those types of partnerships so that people who go through our course have the opportunity to make money and also gain more experience to advance in their accessibility careers. And we have a couple of other kind of strategic creative initiatives around employment that we're kind of going to begin to incorporate into this course too.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it, Nick. It's been really great having you and very informative and a great presentation. I think someone else mentioned in the chat, which you may not have heard earlier, that they really appreciated how you described the keyboard shortcuts that you were using and what you were doing as you were doing it. So we kind of got that picture of what we couldn't see happening behind the scenes. So that really was great. Thank you.
Cool. Yeah, my pleasure. It was definitely, I'd be happy to, have chats whenever needed.
Thanks for listening to Accessibility Craft. If you enjoyed this episode, please subscribe in your podcast app to get notified when future episodes release. You can find Accessibility Craft on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and more. And if building accessibility awareness is important to you, please consider rating Accessibility Craft 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Accessibility Craft is produced by Equalize Digital and hosted by Amber Hines, Chris Hines, and Steve Jones. Steve Jones composed our theme music. Learn how we help make thousands of WordPress websites more accessible at equalizedigital.com.